So this morning, it's up there. On Tuesday this week, it was the 1st of July. August, yes. It was the 1st of August. This year's gone. And funny enough, I wrote the 1st of July in my quiet time book, because when I start writing my quiet time, I put the date in. And I wrote the 1st of July because it's hard to perceive the fact that it's already August. I mean, it was just now, it was New Year. And just now it's going to be Christmas again. I hope your worship team are getting ready for the musical. Look at them. Joshua just gives me a tired smile and says, Dad, I've got so much on my plate. But that's our lives. That's our lives. We've all got a lot on our plate. Can you all hear me? Is it loud enough in the church there? Okay. Every year seems to go too quickly. You know, things that happened 2 years ago, it feels like it happened yesterday. I was looking at that song that we sang, My Redeemer Lives. You know when it was written? It's like a new song, isn't it? Not 2000. It was 1998, almost 20 years old. Next year, it'll be 20 years old. We're singing ancient songs in the church. Come on, Josh. That's a personal joke between the two of us, okay? Because he says, I sing ancient songs. All right. I like them, Josh. We can sing more of them. You can go and find some out of 1972 if you want to. But that's how quickly time passes. There was a song I wrote, New Day. It was written in 1999. It's like I wrote it yesterday. So time just passes. And the Bible speaks about this. The psalmist writes that our life is like that. Our life is like a mist. You know the mist that arises, we see it, especially in the winter, it comes up and it's a misty morning, but by 9 o'clock it's all gone. So that mist just disappears. Another illustration in the Bible is about we're like grass that withers and disappears. That's what our life is like. Gone in a flash. We think, oh, I've got 70 years. I remember thinking about it. The people who were 40 were old. Now I think the people that are 80 are old, okay? Because I'm 50-something. It is what it is. You young people in front here. Honestly, the 30-year-olds were old. Joshua, you're almost there. I reminded him the other day, he's only 12 years away from 40. Anyway. And then he reminded me of how old I am. So never mind, my boy, you've got a couple of years on me. But we don't know. Doesn't matter how young you're old or how old you are, you don't know if you're going to meet tomorrow. Amen? Because life is cut short in a second. And it's one of those things, those mysteries in life, which we battle with and struggle with. And you know what the risk is? The risk is we get into a dull routine. And we allow our lives to waste away. Who sometimes felt that they've been allowing their lives to waste away? Can I see a show of hands? Even our young people. What hopes, what about the hopes and dreams that we have? You know, when you were young, you were going to be rich, you're going to have a lovely house, right? And famous. I actually took it out. I had famous in my notes and I took it out because not everybody wants to be famous. But you want to be rich and famous and ride a red Ferrari, don't you? I mean, there's no other color Ferrari. Hey? That's what you want to do. And you're going to achieve all of these things. And you see these things that the older folk have done. And, ach, Tuchy, they've got no idea, man. We're going to do it better. And before you blink, you're 50, and you're not better, and you haven't done it, and you're not driving the red Ferrari, and you're not famous, and maybe you're not even rich. Okay, some of us the Lord blesses, and He gives us provision, and God blesses our lives. And some of us maybe have a red Ferrari. I don't know. If you do, you're not tithing. All right? Okay, I'm just joking this morning. Well, on Tuesday morning, when I went into my quiet time, the Lord spoke to me about my dreams. And I'm not talking about the dream that I dreamt when I was sleeping. I've had some funny dreams this week. I'm not talking about those ones, okay? He spoke to me about the dreams, the desires of my heart, the passions that have driven me through my life. It's too easy to let go of them and let them fade away. Can I see a show of hands? Who's had dreams that have faded away? Yeah, and especially the older folk, but even some of the younger folk. You've got dreams, things you want to, maybe stuff you thought when you were in primary school, I'm going to be a professional soccer player. I'm going to be the greatest golfer. Joshua wanted to play on the South African cricket team. But life happened and studies happened. Gosh, you still want to play on the South African, don't you? But that dream's kind of come and gone, right? But we, Some of part of it was his dad. His dad said to him, when he got to, I think, grade 11, said, Josh, you've got to focus. I think it was matric. You've got to focus on your studies now, boy. You've got to put these other things aside. Maybe it was a mistake, Josh. Maybe it was a mistake. But sometimes we got to focus on things. But we can't let the dream get lost. And the risk is we get into this dull routine. So you might wonder what all of this stuff is for. And what was meant to be here, but I felt the Lord speaking to me about the hypocrite thing. So I sat down at my desk and I started to make some notes. And hence, my couch isn't here on the platform. So I'm going to have to do some work here behind the pulpit quickly. If you can't see, you can stand up. And I've got to make my bed. So my bed's going to be the platform here. Can you all see if I lie down? All right, good night, everybody. Have a good night. If you're my wife, then I'll show you what happens. She's going to kiss me goodnight. Okay. She's going to roll over on her side like this. Close eyes. That's exactly what happens in that order. Anyway, what happens in my life is I lie on my back. Gosh, and my alarm goes off at 4:10 in the morning. Ooh, in winter, it's horrible. Anyway, so I need somebody to make an alarm sound. Josh, make an alarm sound for me. And you know what happens? Yeah, snooze. I've got another 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes and make it beep again, Josh. That beep is so pathetic. We need a better beep. Come on, somebody give me a beep. Come on, otherwise I'm not going to wake up. Beep. All right. I better get up. And then we kind of fall out of bed. Make sure we miss the dog. Stumble, go and find our slippers. It's winter, so we got our winter slippers. Don't you like them? Don't look at them, they're dirty. Sometimes I've got to pull them out the cupboard, trip over the dog, trying to get them, and then a dog is up and smelling me. Oh, Bubbles, go and lie down, man. And then I stumble off to the bathroom, and it's winter, so it's the winter gown. This was my birthday present in January. Cheryl's got a sense of humor. I had to wait for months before I could wear it. Put on my gun. Where's my other stuff? There's something else, yeah. Waar het jy hom weggesteek? Oh, I lost it. But I would have put on my beanie as well, because I've done a wee and it's cold in the morning, so I would have put on my beanie. And then I go and take my blood pressure tablet, because I've got to remember, I've got a routine in the morning. And I have my blood pressure tablet. And then I stumble off to the basin and I close my eyes and I have a little bit of a juice while I'm reading. 1, 2, 3, 4. Start again. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the things we do in the morning that I won't tell you about. Anyway. But I do it every morning. Every morning, the same old same. I look in the mirror and I say, oh, Lord, this is just like yesterday morning. A bit more, yeah? No, I better go. And then I wander downstairs in my gown and my slippers, and I go and put on the kettle, and I start praying. Because it helps me to pray at that time of the morning while I'm doing something, because otherwise I go back to sleep. All right, so I'm praying while I'm making my coffee or tea lately, because I'm drinking too much coffee. Can you smell my socks? No, you shouldn't, because they were clean. Anyway, and then I head up into my study and I start my quiet time. And at 5:30, I go to Cheryl and the two of us lay in bed. Well, we don't lay in bed, we sit in bed and we pray until about 6:00. And we pray for the church, we pray for you guys, and we pray for our children, and we pray that the Lord will bless our day. And then we go and have breakfast. And after breakfast, I chase Cheryl, I say, you're running late already. And then I go back into my quiet time room and I carry on. Because as a pastor, I need more time. But that's my routine. Okay, I've used so much time telling you about my routine. But I hope I've painted the picture. Can you identify with that? And often that's what our life consists of. When I was going to work at 5:45, I'd be in my car off to Sandton. Right? Work all day, come home, dog tired, eat your supper, go to cell or whatever, because we're involved in the church. Come home, go to bed. Guess what happens? Roll over on the side. Ding, ding. 5 minutes later, get up, back with my slippers. And guess what happens tomorrow? Exactly the same thing. And you know what? Day after day follows into year after year. And I'm doing the same thing, achieving nothing more than I did yesterday, getting nothing more done. My goals and my dreams are somewhere in my memory. I know I've got my goals and my dreams. One day the Lord will allow me and I will achieve my goal and my dream. But you know what? Life goes on. And one day I wake up and I'm 52 and I've achieved my goal and my dream. One day I'll wake up and I'll be 70. If the Lord spares me, I'll be 75 or 80. Would I have achieved my goal and my dream? And that is what I felt the Lord wanted me to speak to you about this morning. That by far is probably the longest introduction I've ever given to a sermon. So now I'm going to have to preach the shortest sermon I've ever preached, which is not going to happen. Why is it that some people achieve so much in life, while others spend their whole lives going through that same dull routine? Now, routine isn't bad. I mean, if I got up in the morning and I didn't get dressed, shall the pastor say this? And I stayed naked, and I didn't brush my teeth, and I was smelly, I didn't shower, and I went to work, well, I'd be in jail, okay? So some routine is very good, okay? You've got to get up and get dressed, right? And brush your teeth, because otherwise people aren't going to want you near them, right? But you've got to go beyond the routine. You've got to go beyond that which you do every day. There's stuff you've got to do. And it can't be the same stuff over and over and over and over again, because you will never achieve your dream. This morning I want to speak to you about awakening the dream. Who's got a dream? Come on, let me see a show of hands. If you haven't got a dream, this morning's a good morning to get a dream. If this is your life, if the picture I've just painted is your life, don't you want more? Can I hear an answer? Do you want more? Amen. Are you willing to do something about it? Woo! Only two people want to do something about it. Well, I want to tell you, for the rest of you, go back to bed. Right. We should want to do something about it. Even here in the church, we get into a routine. And it's the same, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Our God is a progressive God. He took the Israelites out of Egypt, and He took them into the promised land, and He moved them forward, and then they sinned, and they fell, and they lost it all. And for 400 years, the people didn't hear from God. And then He sent His Son. And His Son came, and He lived for us, and He died for us, and the people loved it. And then He said, wait, there's more. There's a promise. There's the Holy Spirit. And then came the Holy Spirit, and guess what? There's more, because there's heaven awaiting for us. And even in heaven, there's stuff for us to do. Our God is a progressive God. It's not the same day in, day out. We need to be consistent in our walk with the Lord. But we don't need to get stuck in a rut and do the same day in, day out. Day in, day out, and never achieve our dreams. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm definitely going to have to cut some of this message out. I want to tell you, church, God has got a dream for your life. Where do you find it? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster. Let me tell you what. If you don't achieve your God-given dream in life, it's a disaster. God has got a plan. Plans for a future and a hope. Have you got a hope? Come on, church. If you've retired, we've got a lot of over... I don't want to embarrass you. It shouldn't be embarrassing. How many people here are on the verge of 70 or over 70? Come on, let's see. It's no shame. It's no shame. Let me tell you, folk, it's not time to drop your dream today. Ivan, God has still got a plan for you. Still got a purpose for you. Amen. If you haven't achieved it yet, you can still achieve it because you serve a great, great God. Abraham wanted a child. He was 99. Can you just imagine it? The baby came and said, hello, pops. Hallo oupa, groetjie. God can do it. You serve a great God, a miracle working God. He's got a plan for your life. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, we are His workmanship. I share the scripture with you all the time. You should know it off by heart. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. God knew each and every one of us beforehand. Before you were born, He had a dream for your life. Say that with me. Before I was born, God had a dream for me. That's it. You've got a God-given dream. And let me tell you what, God has placed that dream in your heart. It's written all over you. If you start analyzing what you like, what drives you, what motivates you, what excites you, you will find hidden in all of that the God-given dream that He put in your heart. Amen. So if you don't know what your dream is, if you don't know what your focus is, ask the Lord to start to identify it to you. You will know by the things in your character that He has placed there, and God will take you right to it. And if He can take you to it, He will enable you to do it. We need to also realize that there's a heavenly vision. Acts 2, 26 verse 19 to 20 says this, therefore, King Agrippa, this is Paul saying, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. God's got a heavenly vision for us. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea. Doesn't that sound like something else we know? We've been called to make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the Samaria, and to the edge of the earth. And it says, and then to the Gentiles. It's the exact same process or progression. That they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Just as God gives each of us a dream and a vision for our own life, something we want to achieve for ourselves, He will give us a kingdom vision for our lives as well. So you've got a dual purpose. God's going to give you stuff to do that you want to do, that you want to achieve. One day you might want to become an accountant. One day you might want to build a house for people that have needs. Whatever. You may want to be a fireman, okay? But you're also going to have a God-given dream that is linked into the Great Commission. Amen. And not all of us do it in the same way because we are individuals. We're different. Paul was carrying out the heavenly vision given by Jesus in 28:19, which was the Great Commission. The heavenly vision must always come first. Matthew 5, I've been thinking too much. The heavenly vision must always come first. Matthew 6, see, it's not just you, Conan. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And then all these things will be given to you. What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? That were the three things. Those were the three things that people were worrying about. That could be where your personal vision sits, okay? But God says, first seek My kingdom, and then all these things will be given to you. Do you see priorities? Okay. Does that link into what we heard last Sunday morning? It does. What is this next challenge? Does our dream and our vision have anything to do with a heavenly vision? Do we need to do some reprioritizing? Sadly, in our lives, sometimes we're not in that rut. We're in another rut. Everything that drives us is our personal vision, our personal dream. One day I want to be a millionaire, and I will spend my time. I'll write off my family. I won't spend time with them. I'll maybe even get involved in some crooked dealings. There's a certain family in this country who's kind of notorious at the moment for that kind of stuff. And everything is about achieving that dream of becoming a zillionaire. Okay? It's all about money. Be careful. The godly dream must come first. Be careful that you don't focus on a worldly dream that means you write off and you lose your family and those who love you and your relationship with God. So we've got to have the right dream. Does your dream, your personal dream, line up with God's standards and plans for your lives? And then my next point is the fact that to have a dream means we need ambition and a plan. Now, if I say that word ambition in the church, am I saying a swear word? Because we say, well, ambition, that guy's ambitious in the ministry. He's full of pride. Amen? So what has happened? We've got a bunch of Christians walking around. They've got a calling from God. He's given them a God-given dream. They are driven to achieve something. But you know what? They suppress it. They suppress it. They suppress it. They hold it back. Because what if somebody thinks that it's pride coming out? What if somebody thinks I'm being arrogant about this thing? Amen. But Paul said it himself. He said it, yeah. In Romans 12, verse 20. My ambition. Have you got ambition, church? What is your ambition? What do you want to achieve? If you're going to be anything in life, if you're going to achieve anything in life, whether it's in the secular world or in the spiritual, in the Christian church, you need some ambition. Say it with me. I need ambition. Say it. I need ambition. Even if I'm post 70, it doesn't matter. I might be 16. I might be 12. I need ambition. I might be unemployed. I need ambition. I might be at the top of my game. I mean, might be the director of a company. I might be rich. I might have achieved everything I think I wanted to achieve in life. I still need ambition. Hallelujah. My ambition has always been, Paul knew what it was, to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. That was his ambition. And he was a missionary. He was a serial missionary. He was an itinerant preacher. He would go from place to place to place to place. Paul covered the amount of distance in his days, 2,000 years ago, that many of us haven't achieved with all the modern technology today. Amen? His ambition was to preach the good news where the name of Christ was never heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. Paul was fully focused and set on the work God had prepared him. He said, I have made it my ambition. I'll tell you something else he had. If you've got ambition, it doesn't help to just have ambition. You need a plan. How am I going to achieve it? Paul had a plan. If we carry on reading in Romans 15, we go to verse 21. It says, I have been following the plan. What was his plan? Spoken of in the scriptures where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard him will understand. So what did Paul do? He went and found a scripture that linked in to his dream, to his ambition. He found the scripture. He said, those that never have heard it will hear. And they will understand. And then he said, it's my ambition to do that. It was his plan to do that. And there was a plan laid out in the scriptures. How would he do it? He would start in Jerusalem, and then go to Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the edges of the earth. He had a plan. If you look at what it's written about Paul, often he would write, he'd say, I long to come and be with you. But God said, I must go here. He made priorities. He had a plan. He was going to achieve his goal. I won't say it. No matter what. Amen. He was very focused on achieving his dream and vision. When we get into this situation, we lose our focus, church. And our life becomes humdrum. And we start doing the same thing day in, day out, day in, day out. That's why the Lord spoke to me on Tuesday morning. He said, you need to start focusing on your dream. Amen. I'll tell you what my dream is later. I told the youth many, many years ago, I haven't achieved it yet. And you might say to me, well, you're just being proud. I don't care. God gave it to me and I will do it. So having a dream and achieving it requires a plan. Paul was very clear about it. He followed the gospel plan. He knew what he had to do, where he had to do it, and when he was going to do it. And he knew how to prioritize between this person who had a need. Paul, please come visit us. We need you to minister in our church. We got this problem. He said, hang on a second here. God has forbidden me from going there. I need to go here. He had a plan and he followed it diligently. My challenge to you is this. Have we been waiting about, living our lives in our dull, goalless life, waiting for something to happen? And we've been miraculously waiting for God to come and make our goal come to pass. And we're waiting for it and waiting for it into the sweet by and by. And God will somehow miraculously just give us our dream. Who is that? And these people here sitting here this morning, they're all right there. Excuse me, I need to take off my jersey. No, don't worry. I'm not going to put on my gown again. Some of us have been waiting for it to just happen. God says, no, I gave you ambition. I've showed you what you must do. It's time for you to get off of your derriere, as they say in French, your bottom, and go and do it. Amen. God said, I must write it down. I must pray about it. I must think about it. I must visualize it. The things I want to do. And then I must start doing it. I must be specific about them. Have you written down your dreams, church? Have you ever written it down? What is your dream? If you haven't, go home today and write it down. And then give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, there it is. Will you enable it? Picture it. I'll tell you what, one of my biggest dreams, and I've had this dream for a long time. I probably shared it with the youth 10 years ago. And I didn't want to share it with you because you know what? People will shoot you down. People will break you down. I say, ach, you. My dream is to preach to tens of thousands of people. And not just that, to lead tens of thousands of people in worship. That's my single biggest dream. And it will happen. It will come to pass. I decree it. And I know the Lord has decreed it. That's one of my visions. Okay? It's a big vision. How many of us are here this morning? 70? 80? She counted. Thank you, Shirley. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. How does it change from that to 1,000 or 10,000 or tens of thousands? Only God can do that. But it starts somewhere. It starts from being faithful. When I started preaching, it was at night. 30 people, yeah, Pastor Pat had me on every Sunday night, or every second Sunday night. There was my learning place. 30 people, I'll be faithful, Lord. 30 people, I'll be faithful, Lord. Amen? So it's more than double already. It's almost triple. Praise the Lord. Let's see if by the end of the month it can't be triple. And by the end of the year, maybe it can be 6 times. Amen? God can do it. It's not about me. It's not about my ability. But I've got to step out and start doing something about it. And I'm talking about myself. I must visualize it. I must visualize speaking to the people up there. Speaking to this big crowd in front of a platform that's got something erected on it. And the people are standing there in their droves. Worshipping the Lord. Entering into His presence. The fire breaking loose. People being healed. Being slayed in the Spirit. Lives being touched and changed. We need to visualize it. Church, I'm getting very personal with you this morning. And maybe you're mocking me already, but that's okay. Doesn't matter. Maybe I'm mocking you. I better not, because you remember what happened with David's wife. Where is my purpose in life? Where is my ambition? Where is the fire? Have I put out the fire of my dreams while waiting for it to happen? Well, it didn't happen. So I'll just give up on that one, and maybe one day God will give me a new dream. Is that where you are? Where's the fire that was stirring up your dream when you were younger? Where is it? It's the same Holy Spirit in you. It's the same God-given dream. He planted it there before you were even born. Don't let it go. And then I want to tell you, God will enable your dream. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says this, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. If I commit my dream to the Lord, it will come to pass. And if I think I'm not capable, okay? You think I'm not capable. If I think I'm not capable, then I go to Ephesians 3 verse 20, which says this, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In Him. No, in me. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than anything I want to do. He can do exceedingly abundantly, Josh, in your life, far above anything that you can even imagine or think that you can do. You've got great ability. You've got great anointing. You're a clever boy, okay? But God is greater. He's smarter. He's more able. And I'm not just talking to Josh. I'm talking to everybody here. God is more than able to make you more than what you think you can be. Can I hear an amen? I'm not getting enough buy-in here. I want you to say, I am able. Say, I am able to do far more than what I can think or dream or imagine because of God who is in me. Amen. We must never limit our dreams and our abilities. Yes, right now you see me leading this church, these empty chairs. Where is the thousands and hundreds of thousands and tens of thousands? I'm not going to let that limit my dreams. I need to stretch a little bit. At work, and we used to call it stretch targets. So you get your bonus if you reach your target. But if you reach your stretch target, in other words, if I can go even further than that, then I'd get an even better bonus. We need to put some stretch targets in place. Are you happy living the mundane life you've been living? Come on, church. We got the Holy Spirit in us. We are more. Amen. Amen. John 1 verse 31. Our dream will lead us to our purpose. I myself did not know him. This is John the Baptist. But for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John the Baptist had a purpose. He came for a reason, to reveal the Messiah. That was his purpose. I came and I was baptizing. For this purpose I came and I was baptizing. Your purpose will reveal your dream. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your purpose, the things that drive you. I spoke earlier upon, there's things in you that drive you. There's things in you that excite you. If I speak to Shirley, she's writing a book. She studies. That excites her. It reveals your purpose in life, Shirley. Does that make sense? It excites you. If I start speaking to her about that kind of stuff, all of a sudden her eyes light up. I start speaking to her about accounting. Amen. Your purpose will reveal your dream. John came baptizing. He was baptizing. It revealed his dream. His dream would be to baptize the Messiah. He didn't know that. But he did know it because he said, here comes one whose sandals I'm not fit to untie. Amen? Your purpose will reveal your dream. And your dream will reveal your purpose in life. What I want to do, what I desire to do, will reveal my purpose in life. John wanted to baptize. His purpose was to reveal the Savior. Amen? Does that make sense? Are you seeing the link? Do we believe we are achieving God's purpose for our lives? Have we done anything about making sure that we achieve our purpose in life? What will be our legacy? If you or I pass away today, what will they say about us? What will we have left behind? Money? Or would we have left behind changed lives? Changed lives is worth so much more. Achieving the God-given dream and vision will require us to count the cost. Luke 14, verse 28 to 29, Jesus said, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. Your dream, are you willing to count the cost to achieve it? Catherine Coleman, I read a book about her when I was away. She had a powerful healing ministry. People were healed. She was a young woman. She had huge problems because in the day that she ministered, female ministers were really not accepted. They were looked down on. She had huge challenges. But she said, I will do it. That was the first price she had to pay. She said this. This thing of living a Christian life costs plenty. It has cost me everything, but it's worth the cost. She also said this, anyone can wish for success, but it takes gumption to do the things that make success possible. What does gumption mean? It's another word for strength of character or determinedness. It's a word for I will do what it takes to get the job done. Are you willing to do what it takes to get the job done? Can I give you a secular example? I'm not trying to be political, but it's on the news all the time. The Guptas were willing to do what it takes to absolutely milk this economy of every cent they could get out of it. Amen? They did it. If it means state capture, we'll do it. I'm not saying you must go and do that, okay? But I'm saying you must be willing to do what it takes to achieve your God-given dream. And I'm almost done, church. What is it that you need to do to count the cost? It may be fasting and prayer. It may be spending your time and your resources, your money. It may be going way beyond your own personal comfort zone. Let me tell you, when we walk on the streets here and witness to people in the streets, I am about as far out of my comfort zone as it gets. I'm not that kind of person. I don't just walk up to people and start speaking to them. But I will do it because God enables me to do it. And maybe that's one of the things that will make it, that one day I will preach to tens of thousands. Who knows? I had a dream about becoming a pastor. I was about 28 when Pastor Ted Pyle gave me my first prophecy about being called to be a pastor. I was leading a cell group. But I had to count the cost. When the time came, it took me a while to be willing to count the cost. I had to count the cost in terms of salary, in terms of a prestigious, high-powered job. I was in a senior position. I had a fancy, well, I didn't have a fancy car because I got rid of my fancy car in preparation for going into the ministry. I drove a BMW, I had an Audi, I had another BMW. I had some really nice cars. I used to get some really, really, really nice bonuses. And I was looking at a very comfortable retirement. I had to count the cost and say, am I willing to achieve my God-given dream even if it costs me financially, even if it costs me in terms of my stature? I also had to make a choice. And until the day came that I said I'm ready, I was not ready to take the retrenchment package that I took that enabled me to step out and be ready for when Pastor Pat retired. The timing was perfect. God's timing is always perfect. But I had to be willing to make the sacrifice. Are you willing, church, to make the sacrifice? On the 1st of August, beginning of this month, I've been in full-time ministry for 2 years. I took over from Pastor Pat and Yvonne on the 1st, well, Cheryl and I did, on the 1st of September. But I started here in the church full-time on the 1st of August. I've not looked back one day. I've not regretted that decision one day. The Lord has given us a congregation. You people are phenomenal. You're a blessing. Yes, we face some struggles. Yes, like any good pastor, I'm challenged when the sheep scatter or when the sheep start being naughty. I'm challenged when I look at the bank statements. I'm challenged when I say, when is it really going to happen? Okay, but I have not looked back one day. I'm fulfilled. I get up on a Monday morning. I'm happy to go to work. Get up on a Sunday morning and say, oh, it's Sunday. Praise the Lord. What's God going to do in the church today? So to conclude with, have you given up on your dream? Have you possibly put it on the shelf? You need to dust it off. Poppy's cleaned all the shelves. Otherwise, I'd go and find one and draw a line in the dust or something. Are you waiting for the sweet by and by when God will make your dream happen? Not going to happen, church. You need ambition. You need a plan. You need some gumption. You need to be willing to count the cost. You need to write down your dream. You need to pray about it. You need to visualize it. And then you need to start doing what it takes to achieve it. Amen. Corin, that dream is still there. I know it doesn't fit in with your timetable, but we are going to have a children's club here on one afternoon of the week, and we are going to have 200 children here on that day. We will. And then we're going to have to make a plan because then we don't have a big enough facility. Amen. Who shares with me? The dream for Christian Heritage is this. This is our vision. How many of you can quote it? Can't quote it, you're not bought into it. I speak to the entire church, I speak to our leaders. We want to become a church of irresistible influence that grows and thrives as we reach this city for God. As we love God, love people, make disciples. That is our dream. A church that grows and thrives. A church that's a church of irresistible influence. The church that reaches the city. a church that loves God and loves people and makes disciples. That is the dream of this church. We all bought into the vision. Many of you weren't here when we set this vision. I think early in September I will share it. We'll have a Vision Sunday. Achieving a dream requires that action. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1 says this, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. It speaks about investment. I read it and I moved money overseas. And I made money because the exchange rate went because in one of the translations it says, send your money over the waters. And in time it'll come back to you. I did it. God spoke to me out of that scripture. Cast your bread upon the waters. Achieve the dream God has set in place for you. Stand with me, church. Sure, did I preach you to sleep this morning? If you're not asleep, say amen.
Amen.
If you've got a dream, say amen.
Amen.
Do you want to achieve that dream?
Amen.
Do you believe God spoke to you this morning?
Amen.
Right, so now I'm going to ask you to do something. And I know it's 10 to 11. I'm going to ask you, if you want to re-fire your dream, come forward, and come forward quickly, because we're going to close the service in 5 minutes. Come forward. Let's ask the Lord to re-fire the dream. Who of you have put your, come on folk, don't tell me that you haven't left your dreams. There are almost everybody in this church that got some dream or another that they have left behind. They've written it off. They've said maybe someday in the by and by. God says no. This is the year that you will start achieving your dream in life. Even coming forward is a spiritual act. It's you saying, God, I'm going to do what it takes. God, I'm going to come and throw my bread on the waters. Come on, church. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I close my eyes. Lord, sure, I'm not going to pray it. I want some. There's a microphone there next to you, sweetie pie. Let's just close our eyes. The first person I want you to give the microphone is to Peter there. Peter, will you just pray? You don't have to pray personally. You can just pray about our dreams. It's on.
Father God, we pray that you would awaken everyone standing here this morning, and that, Lord, you would show them the dream in their lives, the dream that you have for us, the dream that we have for ourselves. We pray, Father God, that this morning we will accept that and we will follow it with all our hearts. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Can I ask you to give that microphone to Elaine? And Elaine, when you don't, give it to Jerry. Let's just not lose the moment.
Yes, Father God, nothing is impossible with you. And we place our dreams at your footstool.
Amen.
We place them there, Father, and we are not going to take them back. We're leaving them there, and we are hopeful, and we know that you, that plan, that vision, that dream will be fruitful, because each and every one of us has a dream. Each and every one of us has a vision for what we need to do for the rest of our lives, no matter how long or how short. And we thank you, Lord, that you will bring it to pass, because we trust in you and our hope is in you. Amen.
Amen.
Mighty God, we thank you this morning. As we are church, with our dreams, Lord, we pray that whatever we are dreaming, my God, and we pray that whatever we are dreaming, Lord, be manifested in mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen.
I just want one younger person to pray. Maybe I shouldn't give it to you, Josh. I'm just teasing.
So Father God, Lord, I'm just reminded of in your word where David writes that each day of our lives is written in your book. And Lord, if you've written days and you've planned things for us, Lord, you intend for us to execute. And I want to pray, Lord, that everyone that has a dream, Lord, we'd start living with intention. Lord, each and every single day we'd have it before us and we say, Lord, if you've given me this dream, help me pursue it. Help me to act on it. Help me to make it a reality. Lord, I'm reminded of a man that said, if your dream isn't big enough that it scares you, that it needs God to step in, it's not big enough. Lord, you've given us some big dreams. And I pray, Lord, that you'd enable us to grow in faith, to believe that you can do what you have promised you can do. Lord, your word has reminded us on multiple occasions that faith is believing that God can do what he says he can do. Father God, I want to pray, Lord, that you'd ignite a fire in us that will not be extinguished. Father God, I pray that you'd light a fire in us that would impact the kingdom of God. Lord, may our dreams align to your purpose for our lives. Lord, let us not hold back, but help us to pursue fervently and consistently the dream that you have laid out before us, that we might be able to say, look what God has done.
Amen.
Look what God has done. Because with me and my personal effort and our personal effort, it's not possible. But with you, Lord, there's nothing that's impossible. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So, Lord, we come here together. For each person, whether standing in front or in the seats at the back, I thank you that you've spoken to us. You've reminded us that each of us is a God-given dream. There are things we need to achieve for ourselves. There are things we need to achieve for the kingdom. Lord, you said, I have got plans for you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this morning, as a result of this service, our dream will be very much alive and very much awake. And the people that have been regretting the past and the things that have not come to pass, that Lord, they will start seeing things happening in their lives and progress towards their dream. Even the dream happening immediately. I pray for it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you release your anointing and your spirit and your enablement upon every person in this church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.